Hello and welcome into the Emergent podcast brought to you by Emergent Software. Today we have a super exciting episode for you. It's all about GitHub Copilot and how it's helping developers produce better code, faster code, making their jobs and lives easier and more efficient. And we have an expert on that here at Emergent Software, which is awesome. His name is Mike Allen. He's been doing this for longer than I've been graduating from college. So I assume he knows a thing or two about things. Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us today. Like I said, it's all about GitHub Copilot. I know you've been managing teams of software engineers for quite a while. Why don't you take us through your background?
Yeah, so with AI, I guess I'll start in the 90s when I was first starting to make simple websites. I was actually super interested in AI back then. I remember doing a research paper on AI, which was in a very different place than it is now. But it's been wild to live through the current time we're in now. Development experience, I was a developer for about 15 years and then became a manager of developers since then. I started as a software engineer like everyone and then worked my way up to a principal software engineer, sort of architect level. So I was leading big teams and architecting things and building complicated stuff with code. Nowadays, I manage a dev team, so I'm still sort of hearing from devs about what's going on with their work and how their work is changing with AI, and then doing some development myself for fun where I'm using Copilot as well.
Nice. I was just about to ask if you ever miss getting into the code and writing your own, but you say you still take some time to...
I take some time, but the thing I miss the most is like focus of 2 or 3 days on the same task where I could get just super deep into it with my brain. The manager schedule is not the same as that. That's the main thing I miss from development.
Right. My experience is the manager schedule is a lot of 30-minute meetings where, you know, there's a lot of talking.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Well, let's just jump right in. Why don't you just give us a brief overview? Just pretend, you know, our listeners have never heard of GitHub Copilot. I'm sure there'll be plenty of those who haven't. What is it? What does it do? Why do we care about it?
Sure, yeah. I'll start by going in the context of ChatGPT, because I think most people in the world have heard of that by now. The chatbot where you can type questions and it'll respond to you with natural language processing. It understands what you're typing. It understands language. In the background of ChatGPT is the OpenAI company, and they've got a GPT natural language processing tool. That has been trained against all sorts of books and news and Wikipedia and all sorts of things where it sort of learned language. It learned all about our human world through reading. So that's the GPT model. Microsoft partnered with OpenAI to make GitHub Copilot, which took not only that GPT model that we use with ChatGPT, but also trained it against GitHub Code, which is the largest repository of code probably in the world. So it learned all about code through that. It read, I'm sure, billions of lines of code through that process. And now they've got a tool that understands language. It also understands code pretty well. And developers can use that to help write code.
Cool. Thanks. So give me an idea, because I've actually never used it, right? Give me an idea of what the actual interface looks like. So I'm writing code. What role does Copilot have? Is it on a sidebar? That's how I visualize it. I visualize it on a sidebar, and it's kind of giving like helpful hints, like Grammarly, like, hey, this doesn't look right. Is that even close?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways to interact with it, and that is one of the ways. The original way when it was first released was that it was only in your code editor where you're actually typing the code. So it's similar to this thing called IntelliSense that we've had forever. Not forever, for the last several years, dozen years, where you're typing some code and it sort of auto-completes or makes a suggestion based on your code. That's what IntelliSense has been. That was where it was aware slightly of your code. GitHub Copilot is the next level of that in my mind, where it not only knows what you're typing and the code about yourself, but it also knows all these other lines of code that it learned from GitHub. So you're typing a thing, you're typing some code, and then it'll suggest like the next 10 or 20 lines of code that it thinks might be useful to you, or it might just finish that line of code, or sort of what it thinks you're most likely trying to do right now. That's one way to interact with it. Another is you can tell it what you want to do by making a comment. We do that in C# at least with doing like //, and then whatever you type after that isn't code, it's a comment for other people to read. GitHub Copilot can read that as well. So you say, write a method that compares these kinds of numbers and outputs this. And then you hit enter and just wait, and Copilot will think about it for a second and then suggest what an algorithm could be to do what you just asked it to do. So those are the original ways. Then a really exciting thing that came out just a few months ago was a chat version, and that is more like the sidebar. So in there, you can start typing things and ask it about your code. You can ask it to do things. And that's more like the interactive chat kind of thing. Prior, it was just like it looked at your code or looked at your comment. The chat is super cool because you can say, explain this code right here, like highlight a method and say, explain it. And it'll output a paragraph that tells you all about what that code's doing, what it thinks it's for. You can ask it how to improve the code, or if there's anything wrong with it, it'll do its best to give suggestions on how to improve it or find bugs. You can say, document this code, which is huge for people who don't like writing documentation. It'll create just sort of a blurb about what it's doing, and you can paste that back into your code. Or a super cool one is say, test this code, and it'll write a test, which we can get into later. There's like a whole thing around testing and software development, but you can ask it to write a test, and it'll write some tests that you can use to test your code as well.
Cool. So it sounds like you can really use it how you want. Like there's really no one way to use it. You can kind of find, okay, what do I like most? How much help do I need? So it sounds pretty customizable. So that's pretty cool. When I hear GitHub Copilot and when I hear like, oh, it's going to be reading all my code, right? It's going to be reading all of our code. Well, what if you have proprietary information? What if you're developing an app that you definitely do not want to be open source and you don't want people to be able to steal your idea before you can even publish it? And now, you know, Microsoft is mining your data, right? What kind of privacy measures are there with Copilot?
Yeah, Microsoft has put out a pretty good privacy statement, and they it's solid for doing this. So the code that you type in and the code that's surrounding it is called context, and that does get sent back through their natural language processing, but they don't save any of that. So it's transmitted to them, it's temporarily sort of read by the Copilot and then sent back, but it's not saved. It's also encrypted in transit, so people can't read it without the ability to decrypt it, which only Microsoft should have the ability to. So the code you're sending it there is not saved back into their knowledge base of what code things can do. So it's safe to put proprietary stuff through Copilot, knowing that Microsoft is not saving it, which is a good differentiator because not all AI things do that. Many of them, the stuff you type and the answers it gives and whatever you paste in there, they save for training data or just for their own use. It could get leaked back into other people's questions and things like that. So it's nice to know that it's different here, that the code that you're putting through is safe from being used in other places.
Okay, cool. So if the data is safe, if it's private, and Copilot is creating this great code, I guess, to be blunt, like, what do I need a software engineer for? Why can't, software engineers are expensive. It's hard to find good ones, right? But if I just need someone to type in a prompt, right? Why would I need someone, who's spent years learning to code?
Yeah, great question. And I think that's a worry probably of some developers. And I'm sure other people are thinking the same thing of like, will this reduce our need for developers and things like that? The way it currently works, it's a very sort of small subset of what developers do. Is actually typing in the code and doing it quicker or getting suggestions on how to do things. There's a lot of being a developer that Copilot isn't even touching, starting from talking to clients, getting business requirements, turning that into a technical solution, doing architecture, organizing things, making sure it's maintainable, finding where to make code changes and fix bugs, documenting. There's all sorts of things that go into software development that Copilot isn't touching. The things it is touching is hands on your keyboard typing in the code once you know what you want to do. It can speed that part up by either replacing repetitive things if you need to do a very similar line of code 40 times in a row with only minor differences. It can prompt that pretty accurately and saves a lot of time. It's actually really, really nice when it does that because it's not a fun part of developing is to write the same thing over and over. Or if you're not sure how to do a thing, it sort of replaces Googling or searching Stack Overflow for examples of what you're trying to do. It can be have a lot more context around what you're trying to do and answer that question more directly if it gives you the correct answer. The other aspect of that is Copilot is often not correct. And it needs someone who understands what's going on to be able to look at it and say, is this even good? Does this solve the problem? Is it going to work in our code base? Is it maintainable? All those kinds of things that an operator is there to help with. That's why they named it a copilot. It's not meant to be the pilot of your thing. It's not meant to be the developer. Right. It's meant to be a helper and speed up development for a competent developer.
So the next generation will just be called GitHub Pilot.
Yep. GitHub Developer Pilot. And I'm not sure I want to see what it outputs if you ask it to make a whole application, because I've seen what it does in very small snippets, and sometimes it's not correct. So, yeah, it'd be a real Hail Mary at this point.
Can you give me an idea? Maybe it's just you guessing. Like, if someone were to say, if a developer sits down and asks it to write code, is the developer having to rewrite, what, like 10% of the code, 20% of the code? Is it just really small mistakes that's like, oh, well, you just need to change this character and then it's fine? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Is it giving whole sections wrong?
Yeah, it would be more like you're either going to accept it or not accept it. It might suggest the whole rest of the line, or let's say the next five lines, and you're going to look at it and either say, yeah, that's what I want to do, or no, that's not what I want to do, and keep typing.
I see.
And the more you type, you're giving it more ideas of what you're trying to do, and it gets a better sense of what you're trying to do. So maybe two lines into it, it gets it, and it can type the other three lines. Or even sometimes it's still like it just has a bug in it. It doesn't understand the logic you're trying to do, and it's only suggesting wrong things. I think I saw a stat from GitHub that people are accepting about 30%, like somewhere between 20 and 30% of the prompts that GitHub gives you. So that could be like you just don't have time for it, you're typing and you don't need it to do it, or that it's incorrect or it's not really what you're going for. But it's constantly suggesting things, and about 30% of the time people are saying, yep, that's what I want, accept that.
Interesting. Okay. And going back to what you said about how developers... Is it a small part of their job actually sitting down and writing code? Are they spending most of their time, you know, talking to clients, collecting info? Like, what's the ratio of the work that really can't be done by AI and stuff where, oh, AI is getting closer?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not, we're not typing 8 hours a day. I kind of think back to like the hacker TV shows or movies where it's like someone just sits down at a keyboard and it's like flying through, and the faster they can do it, the better hacker they are.
Right.
That's not what I've ever experienced as being a developer and what I see on my team. There's so much more that's thinking about it, figuring out the best way to do things, talking to teammates, getting the requirements, again, like documenting the requirements through tests and things like that. So yeah, actually hands down on the keyboard, typing it out. Gosh, if I had to guess, is maybe 40% of the day, if even that. And most of it is thinking through things and finding the spot to do it, and all the other things that comes with being a developer.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot less than I thought also. I figured developers were just in this dark room.
Just hammering it out, yeah. Yep.
Right. Their face dimly lit by their keyboard and monitor.
Yep.
No, I know. I've worked with developers enough to know that that's not true. They spend a lot of time in meetings.
Yeah.
That prioritizing. So... You know, you're in the leadership team at Emergent Software, and you're involved in the hiring process. How is AI and GitHub Copilot, how is it affecting the hiring process? And is it?
Yeah, for sure. AI has very much changed one aspect of our hiring that it's an interesting story. So one of the ways we vet out candidates early on is by having a small algorithm challenge where they have to write some code. It's not a ton of code, but it's a challenge that takes maybe 20 to 30 minutes for a senior developer, a little longer if you're not. And if you're not really able to code at all, it might take over an hour, and you kind of fail it at that point. So the algorithm we had, I don't want to give away too much because we're still kind of using it, but basically comparing two strings that aren't easily comparable. It's a messy algorithm, so it's not just like which one's greater than the other. You have to do some code to make it happen. The way people try to write that cleanly and easy to read can tell us a little bit about them. The way they solve it can tell us a bit about them, and then also which sort of tools or pieces of the framework they use can tell us a bit too. So we've been using that for years. Like early after I started in 2017, I implemented that as one of our ways of testing developers. And so I've graded hundreds of these over the years, and no two were exactly alike, which is really fascinating. There's kind of similar patterns people would use, but there's lots of different ways to solve it. And we've seen many ways, some very creative off-the-wall ways and some more standard ways. So for the longest time, that was one of our early ways to vet out developers. Fast forward to when ChatGPT came out first and people were using it. I was playing around with it. And one of the things I did was just typed in sort of a vague description of the algorithm that we test people on. And I watched it like write stuff out. And within like 10 seconds, it had an algorithm that was honestly better than average. Sort of what I'd expect from a high-end senior is what it output at that. That was a pretty big light bulb moment of like, okay, AI is changing, or at least chatting with AI is changing a lot. So that was fascinating just from a start of like, okay, what does this mean? Now, kind of fast forward to here, we're seeing a lot more people using AI to complete this algorithm challenge, which kind of made us have to stop and pause and say, like, what are we going to do about that? We're not really learning anything about the developer when they just give us the output of ChatGPT or the output of Copilot. So what do we do about that? And one of our thoughts was we asked people not to use AI, to do it themselves, sort of like not using a calculator on your high school test to show that you can do the work behind it. But another part of us said, like, is this even a useful test anymore? Is AI just replacing the need for developers to write simple algorithms with known inputs and outputs? It's so good at it. It's so much faster. Why are we seeing how good people are at this? Should we just assume they're going to use Copilot as one of their tools and it's going to output a pretty good algorithm that would be used here? So yeah, that's still a thing we're sort of thinking through. We still use the challenge. We just sort of understand that a lot of people are using Copilot, and we've got other things that will eventually vet out developers who don't know what they're doing. But we might replace that with something different and just assume that algorithms are no longer an interesting thing for developers to do, at least the kind that we were testing on.
Yeah, it's interesting because I imagine you don't even know who might have been using that before you tested it, right? Like maybe someone was beating you to it, and it's not like you can say like, oh, you were clearly using AI because it's just good code, right? It's like, oh, well, you just kind of knew what you were doing. So
yeah, that's a good point. Like when we were thinking about saying, like asking people not to use AI, like how would we really know, you know?
Right.
Someone could have just written very similar code to what Copilot outputs, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's code. So it was going to be a really hard task to try and police that anyway. And that was another reason not to try.
What feedback have you gotten from your software engineer team? Is Copilot used regularly by everyone? Does anyone not like it? Like, what's the feedback been?
Yeah, I actually just got some stats on how often people are using it, and the majority of the team had used it in the last week or two. I followed up on some people who were using it less, and it turns out they either had their own copy or didn't know they had a copy of it. We had one client who specifically wasn't allowing us to use AI for a while. They just changed their stance on that, which is great. So I would say almost the entire team is using it on a weekly basis, that they've got it turned on and they're accepting some prompts. I've heard people really like it for the repetitive stuff, the simple stuff. There's a thing called mapping where you just say this object equals this object, and you have to go through line by line and say what all the different things are going to equal. AI is really good at doing that. It's not a thing that's necessarily fun to type in, so everybody's at least accepting those prompts because it saves a lot of time. Other people are saying it's really helpful when they're working in a new language or a new aspect of the language that they haven't worked in much, where they would have been Googling a lot of things, which is a totally valid way to develop. That's a big part of it. Nobody knows everything. That Copilot is actually helping to give a better recommendation because it knows the context of what they're doing. Instead of having to Google, look through like 10 or 15 results and see, try and find that thing you're looking for, it can kind of suggest it. And if it's giving you the right thing, it works, which is great. So it's speeding that aspect up as well. I've even personally seen it in, again, some relatively straightforward things. Like, again, if you know the inputs that you're looking for and you know the outputs and you just need to fill in the middle, Copilot is really good at that. And there's been a few times where I'm about to type a thing and I'm thinking, oh great, this is going to be complicated. You know, it's like a grouping within a grouping or something that's just going to get complicated. And I think like, all right, time to turn my brain on. I'm going to have to think about this. And Copilot recommends something and I look at it and I go, oh yeah, that's right. Sweet. I just accept that and not have to go through that mental exercise. Yeah, it can be really nice. I mean, part of the fun is thinking about that, but it's also nice to just, when you don't want to be able to shut that off and just accept the answer.
I was just about to say, I wonder how is this hindering the development of developers, right? Because are they no longer being pushed and no longer being, you know, required to do that hard thinking?
Yeah, there's still plenty of hard thinking on bigger system level. It's more just in that sort of small block. But yeah, that could be a thing. If you really wanted to think about it and it prompted you before you got a chance to think about it, that could be annoying. It's also worth thinking about, you know, you look at it and you have to think through, like, is this correct? Is this going to work? Is there a better way to do it? Because Copilot doesn't always give the absolute best, most optimized thing or the most maintainable or thing. So there's still thinking that goes along with it to say, is this good and is this what I want to use?
It seems really promising that the people who are actually in the field, right, are using it. Because I have been told many times from, you know, the higher ups, hey, use this tool. And then I go to use it and it actually slows me down. It's like, oh, this is actually making my work a lot harder. It's a lot worse. And so the fact that the people with the boots on the ground are actually using it must mean it's more efficient. It's faster. Can you talk to me about that? How much faster is Copilot making, you know, developers' jobs?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and first I'll just address the, like, that people are still using it. Yeah, we're not seeing people turn it off. We're not seeing people uninstall it or not use it. I don't actually have stats on how many prompts they're accepting, you know, like what percent they're accepting, but it's at least not bothering people or a hindrance to the point that they're stopping using it altogether. So it seems like, yeah, we're asking people to use it, and Emergent is buying licenses for everyone who starts, everyone on the dev team. But people are also finding enough value that they're keeping it on their machine, which is great to see.
For people who are on leadership teams, you keep talking about how you can kind of like monitor people's Copilot usages. Is that with like a paid license? You can actually see how often they're using it or the effectiveness of it. What visibility do you actually have?
Yeah, so GitHub gives you stats on each license you have and when the last time they used it at all. So that's really all we see from it. The how often people are accepting prompts, that's, I heard that from a study. But from what we can actually see is like which users used it today and yesterday versus someone who hasn't used it since like November or something would be someone who's really not using it at all. So yeah, that's where we're seeing almost the whole team is using it like today and yesterday. That was like 60% of the team and like 15% more had used it last week. And then there was another percent that has been like last month or hadn't used it at all. And those people, when I followed up, largely just didn't know they had it or the client wasn't letting them use it at the time.
I see. Okay, gotcha. You were talking about how it's faster.
Yeah, so GitHub Copilot has released a stat that is 55% faster than not using Copilot. And I've seen that stat sort of all over. It's a couple of years old. They did a study on it, but I did want to talk about that a little bit. So they did a study. They took 95 developers, split them into two groups. One didn't use Copilot, one did use Copilot. And then they asked them to implement an HTTP server in JavaScript, which is a fairly specific task. I assume there was requirements that it needed to hit. And then they had the two groups work on it. And the group with Copilot did it 55% faster. They took almost a little less than half the amount of time to write the same amount of code as the other group who didn't have Copilot. So that's where we see the stat all the time, 55% faster. Some nuances to that is that test was pretty specific. That task was pretty specific for people knowing what they needed to do. They had the requirements. They didn't have to think about what it was supposed to do. It was more just, again, typing in the hands-on keyboard and maybe figuring out if they didn't know how to do something, how to do it. So the Copilot people were getting prompts. That was speeding them up. If there was a thing they didn't know how to do, instead of having to search for it, they could search through Copilot or ask it to do a thing or say what they're trying to do and see some prompts. So I think that does make a lot of sense that in that case, it was 55% faster. When you get to the point of, I know what I need to do, I maybe don't know how to do it, or I just need to spend a lot of time typing, I think it probably is 55% faster in that case. But again, because that's only maybe 30 to 40% of a developer's day, on the whole, I'm guessing it's more like 15% faster, 10 to 15% faster for like a day or a project to use Copilot.
Okay, gotcha. Because, you know, 55% faster, that's incredible, right?
That's huge. Yeah. If every project took half as long because we installed Copilot, we would be printing money.
Right.
Or we'd just be doing way more projects. We wouldn't charge the same. We would be getting twice as many projects done in a year is what that would turn into. But we have not seen that.
Right. And yeah, like you said, that would be enormous for any business. And yeah. But that's how all companies' marketing goes, right? The marketing team gets together and says, okay, how do we make sure we get as good a result as possible?
Yep, exactly.
Well, cool. So you mentioned before that Copilot can actually do testing? Because when you were talking about how accurate it is and it can write code, but it's not always correct, you know, I was thinking, well, why doesn't it just test it? Why doesn't it actually just run the program it's making to see if it works? Can it do that?
It can't run the test. And one funny thing about it is if it's wrong and you're chatting with it and you say, hey, that's not right, it'll say, you're correct, that's not right. And so it always makes you wonder, like, why doesn't it just like check itself as it's saying thing? It's just like, here's the first thing that came into my head. And then maybe later, if you ask, I'll actually question whether it was correct. It's just like, send something out. Get something out as quick as possible. So yeah, that's one aspect.
At least it doesn't mind admitting it's wrong.
Yeah, that's one aspect. I wish it would actually like do a little more like, was that actually right, what I just was about to say? But that's a separate thing. So testing, in software development, we write a thing called unit tests, which is some code that's specifically meant to test a unit of work, like a single method or one piece of code. So we'll write tests on it, basically saying, here's what I think it should do. Let's write some tests and make sure it really does that. If I give it this kind of input, it gives this kind of output. If I give this kind of thing, it returns this kind of error. That's what I was expecting. And that's partially to make sure the code works correctly, and it's partially to document what you wanted it to do. So by writing those tests, you've kind of locked it in where if someone changes the code and it no longer passes the test, it means someone either broke it or they changed what it was meant to do, and they need to update those tests to now show what it's meant to do, or like to test what it's meant to do. So it's almost like documenting requirements as well. Here's what we expect it to do when we give it the situation. That's a really useful thing for software teams to do, but it often feels like it's either grunt work or unnecessary, or it's going to slow things down because the people just want to focus on like putting out more code and writing the test for it can feel like it's an unnecessary step or a slow step that doesn't give you immediate benefit. It's more like down the road benefits to things. So I think that's a huge opportunity for Copilot for teams that aren't using unit tests to use Copilot to say, I just wrote this method. Give me some tests for it. And Copilot can do that through the chat. It can suggest a couple tests. You can paste that into your code in a test, and that might save you, instead of taking 10 minutes to write it, it takes a minute for Copilot to write it. I've been trying to play around with that, and I've seen it'll suggest some tests. It's not always a comprehensive list of tests, but you can chat some more and say, test this scenario, and it'll give you a test for that as well. So in that sense, those tests are pretty easy to write. They're pretty kind of mindless. Like once you know what you want to do, it's more a matter of just putting the code out. And I think that's the biggest benefit that might be underutilized for Copilot, is just writing these tests to get them out there quicker and make that less of a burden on the person trying to test their code.
Cool. This has been an awesome episode because I use ChatGPT a ton in marketing as almost a brainstorming partner.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the things I type, it's like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, what about this? Like, what are some creative ideas just to kind of get the juices flowing? And so to know that like, oh, it's kind of doing the same thing for developers, just in technical code.
Very much so. Yeah. I use the Microsoft's Chat Copilot and ChatGPT for very similar things conversationally. And you can do that in code too. So you're saying, show me a method, or write a method to do this. And you can look at it and go, oh, that's an interesting way. That's not what I was planning on doing, but that's what it suggested. Maybe it gives you some ideas. You still write it yourself, but you take some of those concepts, or maybe you didn't know about a library that it's suggesting to use or something. So it can give you just new ideas from looking at it. Or even you write some code and you say, how could this be better? And it'll give you suggestions on what it thinks is better. It's kind of like having a senior sitting next to you and saying like, hey, you could do this instead of that. Again, with a grain of salt that it might not be 100% right, but at least looking at those suggestions and thinking about it, it often finds things that are better. Kind of embarrassing story there. I tested on some of my code, some of my old code that I've had, and I said, like, what could be better about this method? It was one of the more complicated ones. And I said, hey, you can remove this line of code that's doing nothing. And I realized I had totally left a line of code in there doing nothing, just to be able to put it's called a breakpoint, where you stop the code and then see where it's at. So I just had this like nonsense code in there just to be able to add a breakpoint. It wasn't necessary. It was just a waste of space. And it caught that. And I had that code in there for quite a while. So yeah, it can be helpful there.
That's cool. Yeah. I've noticed quickly that I don't need friends anymore. I have OpenAI and I don't need to leave the house anymore. I'm just kidding. Well, cool. This has been an awesome episode. I feel like we've really dived into what Copilot can do. You know, do you have any last thoughts for people who are in your same position, you know, leadership, managers of software engineer teams, of maybe tips on how you've implemented Copilot and how it works for your team, or ways to customize it to their specific team. Any feedback like that?
Yeah, I think my biggest feedback, I think, is that developers might be more worried about it than leaders. I think leaders are like, great, this is going to make everything faster. For them, I would say maybe dampen your expectations that it's not going to make things 55% faster, but it'll make some things faster. And I think for developers, some people are still worried about AI and their jobs and what that's going to mean. Is it going to completely replace us? Are we not going to be as relevant? And I see AI right now as a helper. It makes things somewhat faster. It can help you think through ideas. It can help check things. It might help you speed up tests, things like that. So use it for ways to make your life easier. Embrace it for the speed boost. And for now, I don't see it replacing developers to a big capacity. So you don't need to be worried about that yet.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Mike. It's been an awesome episode. If you want to check out more about Emergent Software, what we do, how we help businesses every day build custom software, Microsoft Azure cloud services. Really, we do everything Microsoft related. And you can check out our website at emergentsoftware.net. You can call in, ask for Mike specifically if you want to talk to him. No, don't do that. I don't know if he actually takes phone calls. You know, he's a very busy man. Thanks for joining us. Mike, hope to have you on again someday.
Yeah, and maybe one thing I'll add for people listening is that we're starting to build a lot of chat integrations into applications that we're building, where it can look at your documents or your database, and you can put a chat that's public-facing or to your employees or things like that to be able to interact with your own data, not just what ChatGPT knows about the world, but your specific data to help customers find the information they need quicker.
Very cool. That was a much better plug than when I came up with. Awesome. Well, thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Bye.